Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us. Come on board with us as we face the issues each and every day. Many of our listeners listen and tune in and call, inviting others to tune in. And we encourage you to continue that process to get others and even others involved in the radio discussion each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today a very pertinent issue for this season of the year, no room for Jesus. No room for Jesus. Perhaps you recall in Luke, the second chapter, when Mary and Joseph had traveled to Bethlehem, they got there and discovered there was no room in the inn, the scripture says. We're going to talk about that. What does that mean? How does that redound to us today? How does that apply to us today? What should we do in relationship to that? But ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about the issues and face them each and every day, we do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus in John 8, 31 and 32 said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am truth." Further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17, 17 and says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to grasp our attention and cause us to focus on what the Scripture says and allow the Scripture to direct our lives. It is truth, however, that is the unseen thing that is, I believe today, being vanquished out of society and out of the terminology and vocabulary of most in our world today, especially as we find it on what I call the loose, lax, lost liberals on the left, the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party, and others. They do not know how to spell truth, I believe. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be so valid today. If you don't believe that, get in a group where there are a lot of questions about things that are taking place today with COVID and with the vaccination and what is the truth and the facts and fiction, and try to separate that out and try to make someone listen and understand. Most do not want to hear the truth. Then they will say, "Well, where did you get your information? I've not heard it." Generally, I'll respond, "Well, that's because you listen to the Communist Network News. You're not paying attention to the reality of what's taking place." But it's truth that is the lost art, if you want to call it that, in society today. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And that is exactly where I believe we ought to be today, ladies and gentlemen, is loving the truth, living the truth, telling the truth, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, and stand for the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, "How do I find that?" You find the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and 295. Right at that intersection, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find a gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in perhaps the best season of the year. It is the season of Christmas as we celebrate the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, we're getting greater and greater into what I call a secularized world, a secularized nation. In fact, when you look at the nations around the world, we're getting fewer and fewer nations that celebrating the Christmas season, the Christmas time of the year. What is Christmas? Why do we celebrate it? Who is Jesus? Why do we celebrate him? How should we respond when we're finding across the nation, ladies and gentlemen, more and more businesses and entities, the big box stores, etc., that are blocking anything that's called the celebration of Christmas? But ladies and gentlemen, what I want us to do today on this broadcast, a little different than we normally do, but it's 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. What does Christmas mean to you? How do you celebrate Christmas? How are you planning on celebrating this wonderful season called Christmas? What are some of the memories you have from Christmas has gone by? How do you respond to the Christmas this year as compared to the Christmases of the past? Do you believe we have gotten too secular as a nation to celebrate Christmas? Should we just eliminate Christmas? Those are a variety of questions. During the course of this broadcast, I'd love to hear from you and have you to answer. The telephone is 831-0917, 831-0917. How do you plan to celebrate this Christmas season? What does it mean to you? What do Christmases past mean to you? Have you developed memories of Christmas that you cherish because of having gone through them and now looking back on them? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, no room for Jesus. You recall in the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call it the arrival of the first Christmas. The arrival of the first Christmas. It's found in Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. I'm going to drop down to about verses 6 and 7. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Speaking of Mary, birthing the Lord Jesus. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room for Jesus. No room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. No room was found for them in that era when the Lord Jesus Christ was first came into the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is there room for Jesus today in the society in which we're living in? The joy and the blessing of Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, I believe are often, more often than not, overshadowed by the battle over Christmas. Across America, each Christmas season, some of the local, state, and national politicians and others in business attempt to, in some way, to minimize the Christmas story. For example, refusing to display a Christmas tree on public property. Did you realize that in most cities, you cannot put a Christmas tree or a nativity scene or anything relative to Christmas on what they call public property? Because that is supposed to be a violation of the separation of church and state. Do you believe that? What is your stand on that? Love to hear from you. How do you find that? Where do you find that in the Constitution? Should we, the people, say anything about being shut out of society? That's what's happening. As Christians today, more and more Christians are being shut out of society and societal activities because of the so-called separation of church and state that they want to enforce when they want to silence Christians in the marketplace today. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we have a number of cities across America, counties and municipalities, that you cannot display a gigantic wreath. You cannot say, serve the Christ of Christmas, or we recognize Jesus of Christmas, or any vestige that would indicate that it's Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, there are those that refuse to allow colorful lights to be displayed in the public on the basis that it is exemplifying Christmas, and therefore you cannot do that. And yet, tax money, ladies and gentlemen, they tell us can't be spent to pay for the electricity to run the Christmas trees and or the other ornaments and decorations in many cities where Jesus Christ and the celebration of Christ is shut out. How do we respond to that? Is that so? Should we just simply be silent when cities and municipalities say that you cannot have a Christmas tree? In fact, there is something about that is just simply untoward as I see it. Here's an article. Christian couple told they must remove offensive Jesus Christmas sign from their yard. A Christian couple in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, have refused to comply with their homeowners association demand that they take down a Jesus Christmas display from their yard that one complainant deemed offensive. I'll read the balance in a moment. But here's the point. They had not a picture of Jesus, not a Christmas tree, not a wreath, not a manger scene, but just cut out of, looked like either cardboard or some thin wood material. Beautiful lettering, says J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, that they put on their front yard. And the Homeowners Association said that offends some people, and therefore you cannot do it. This article further says, although the Wivels, that's W-I-V-E-L-L-S, have lived in the community since 2005, this was the first year they put up a handmade Christmas display. Quote, I just felt it was time to acknowledge that I'm a Christian, the homeowner said. The Homeowners Association for the Courtyards Community of the Links of Gettysburg received a complaint that the sign was offensive. No less than 24 hours after that, the couple put their Christmas display sign up. Although the birth of Christ is the reason why Christmas is celebrated, the community's governing body sided with the complainant and ordered the sign to be taken down. A member of the association's executive committee sent the couple an email that stated, quote, the sign wasn't in accordance with the normal Christian and Christmas decoration, end quote. Quote, we feel that that is what Christmas is all about, the homeowner said. Jesus first, so we are celebrating his birthday, and this is how we decided to do it. Quote, we were just kind of shocked that someone would take offense to what Christmas is all about. After refusing to take down the display, the Homeowners Association sent a second email to the couple, further explaining the reason why the display had to be removed. The three-person board told the couple that Jesus' sign violates the rules against signs in the neighborhood. Further, the article states, ladies and gentlemen, this is Christmas decoration, and our Christmas decoration adheres to the rules and the covenant and Christmas decorations. So there's no problem here, the homeowner said. We have no plans to take it down, further they stated. Everyone is offended at some point or another during their life. You don't have the right not to be offended, the homeowner said. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you feel about that? Was the Homeowners Association right or wrong? Should we have the privilege as free American citizens to post signs in our front yards with a Christmas tree or with a creche or with a manger scene or with some other indication of Christmas? Or is there a violation somehow that we should adhere to? I believe we have a caller on the line. Greg, go over the question and comment, please.
That's a tall question you have when you deal with a homeowners association. I mean, generally they're kind of a little Gestapo organization in and to themselves. It's amazing because the old content-based versus content-neutral standard that you might apply to free speech, it kind of all goes out the window in favor of the contract that you sign when you become a member of a neighborhood association. So that's a hairy ordeal. You've got to look at a lot of things. However, it seems like this year is a unique year. I mean, we've seen a war on Christmas and war on Christianity from the left for a long time. Now they've they have gotten worse and worse and worse. However, this year, some things just jumped out at me. This is a different year because when over 100 ships backed up offshore California waiting to get into, Long Beach Port and other ports, folks started saying, we've got a supply chain issue. And Peter Buttigieg, whatever his name is, he was out on paternity leave learning how to breastfeed for a couple of months. So he didn't have time to deal with this issue. For 2 months he was doing that while ships were backing up offshore and we couldn't get products in. But the telling statement on the part of some of our they're not leaders. Some of the pundits and some of the bureaucrats started using language like, we might not be able to have Christmas. Mm-hmm. As if somehow or another, if your supply chain gets messed up, then we got to cancel Christmas, folks. We're just not going to have Christmas. I mean, have they lost their ever-loving mind? Do they not know what Christmas is about? Do they not know that if I didn't have a single gift underneath the tree, if I didn't even have a tree, guess what? We can still have a Christmas celebration. We can celebrate the first advent of Jesus Christ. They don't understand that, though. Literally, they have so commercialized and so perverted this celebration. This you know, we've made it a holy day. I think for those that truly recognize it as a holy day, a holiday, that's where that comes from, a holy day, we've made it that because we recognize if Jesus did not come first in the manger, he could not have gone to the cross. So the position is not the baby in the manger. The position is he shed blood on the cross and his resurrection thereafter. That's what all this points to. Matter of fact, there's nothing in the scripture that says, "Hey, this is one of the must do's. You got to do this and remember my birth till I come." No, he doesn't say remember my birth till I come. He's going to remember my death till I come. Remember my resurrection till I come. Okay. Those are the things that are important. And secondly, I said there are two points that they've really messed up. They've really perverted this year. One, we're not going to be able to have Christmas because the supply chain. And the other is, St. Fauci telling us, well, y'all need to all make sure that you're vaccinated and you wear a mask and you need to check the vax status of your guest and this and that and the other thing. I have never in my 51 years of existence thought that I needed to beg some bureaucrat or check in with some bureaucrat to see whether or not I can get together with my family and celebrate Christmas or Thanksgiving or a birthday or anything that I want to do. The idea that I need to check in with a bureaucrat to do those things is completely absurd. I want to hear from one person that thinks that it makes good sense to get permission from the bureaucrat before you get together with your family. Tell me how that makes any sense whatsoever.
Well, Greg, I was going to touch on that point. You're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head, right on the spot. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you, answer and respond to some of the questions and challenges that we're setting forth today. But by all means, we'd love to hear from you. What does Christmas mean to you? How are you celebrating this Christmas season? What are some of the memories of Christmases of yesteryear that you'd like to share with our audience today that would be an encouragement and a challenge? Greg, you touched on that. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. I always enjoy having Greg on the show with me and our opportunity to discuss the issues. And Greg, one of the issues that we find, and you touched on it then with St. Anthony Fauci, Emperor Fauci, where he, through the CDC, they've determined that because of COVID, we may not be able to celebrate Christmas, or maybe we should not celebrate Christmas. It is something that I find offensive. And I'm looking at an article, Greg, that says the most vaccinated nation on earth cancels Christmas over the surge in COVID cases. This article says, in response to the sudden surge of COVID cases, the government of Gibraltar recently announced that official Christmas parties, official receptions, and similar gatherings have all been canceled, and advised the public to avoid any social events, avoid all parties for the next 4 weeks. You notice now, they say next 4 weeks. They're doing this just to cancel Christmas. Outdoor spaces are recommended over indoor spaces. Touching and hugging are discouraged, and mask wearing is required. Greg, what does that say to us, and how should we respond to that? Of course, this is talking about Gibraltar. It's not talking about America. But American officials would love to see that take place in our nation today. You have the iron fist of those in California, those in Oregon and Washington State, and those in New York, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, across our nation, that they're continuing the iron fist of wanting to control our lives, including whether or not we can celebrate Christmas. Should Christians just simply adhere to that? Should we say, no, not on my watch, you're not? How should we respond? Greg, hold with your response for just a moment. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question and comment, please.
Hey, Greg, Dr. Youngblood, how are you guys today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for your call. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing well there. Anthony Fauci there, that's doctor. Is that spelled with a K or with a C? Because it's always about, in your best interest. I mean, that's how all socialist dictators start, where it's only for your own good.
Yes.
I wanted to share my youth growing up was in the 70s there, and the commercialism was coming on the scene pretty hard, but I remember the general feeling of the season starting about mid-November, you know, a spirit of Thanksgiving, and people were much friendlier, it seemed like to me there, and over the years as it's got farther and farther away and the nation's become more and more secular, I wished I could pass on those feelings and those sights and those the wonder of the season that I experienced to the next generation, but it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot. It really has.
Jim, you touched on something that I must dig a little deeper about passing on that sense and that feeling. It's called passing on memories. It's called passing on a legacy. And maybe the question needs to be, and Greg, I want you to respond to it, how do we develop a memory of Christmas, and how do we develop that memory and that recollection of what Christmas is truly about, and how do we pass it on as a legacy to our children and to our grandchildren? How do we do that? What is your recommendation for our listeners based on Jim's statements?
We have obligations, particularly as Christian dads, to share, to carry on generationally. And I've referenced Psalm 78 quite a lot. Psalm 78, verse 4, says, "We will not hide them from their going to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord." We need to take these moments and as dads make sure we share the praises of the Lord. I grew up in a household where dad would read that Christmas story. These days, the grandkids are reading that Christmas story. As a herd of young bloods, those associated with young blood family, get together under a young blood roof, guess what? The Christmas story is told, and we know it doesn't stop with Jesus in the manger. It goes all the way to the cross. But that story is told year after year after year, and we pass on to the next generation, as is our obligation, our responsibility as dads to pass to the next generation.
Absolutely. Jim, I thank you so much for your call. What are some of the special things that you're developing as memories for Christmas this year?
Me? What am I developing as memories this year?
Yeah, well,
I thought Jim may
still be on, but he's already gone. But yeah, what do we do this year? How do we develop as families, as parents? You've got a daughter, you've got a grandson, our great grandson. What are some of the things that need to be instituted in families that would bring about that memory, that legacy of memories for future generations?
I was going to turn this around on you because you know our legacy. You have year after year shared that Christmas story, been blessed to have you with me for 51 years. That's not the same legacy, you know, that's not the same story that you have, because as a little boy in the late 40s and going into the 50s, you had a totally different life. You had a totally different story. Maybe you can share little components of that story. I know a lot about Grandma. I know the Christian legacy that she has shared generationally, because she's been able to touch multiple generations before her passing, going on to be with the Lord. And that's the kind of thing that I think society is departing from. I mean, we're seeing that falling away, which for the believer, it's sad on the one hand, and it ought to be exciting on the other hand, knowing that Jesus Christ's return is imminent. But do you mind? Because you know our story, and this year we're going to get together, and one of the grandkids, we've got a great-grandchild now, for you do, one of the grandkids will certainly read the Christmas story. What took place? What was Christmas like in the late 40s or into the 50s? What was it like in your household?
I can recall, Greg, you touched on recalling Grandma, but I can remember Mother, your grandmother. Had it not been for Sears and Roebuck and the mail order catalog, we would have not received any gifts for Christmas. And I can look back and just stand in amazement at how little she was making as income, and yet so to it, that we had a Christ-filled Christmas, with Christ being the center, and then with maybe a toy or two, a bag of hard candy, and things like that. That was our Christmas. We didn't think about, that's not very much, we didn't think about what you would call in society today, how little that was, how meager it was. We saw it as something special because it was a special season, and her focusing our lives was on focusing it on, this is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate that. And Greg, we understand now, as being up in age, that the scripture says when the announcement was made to Mary that Jesus Christ was to be born, and then the announcement was made to the shepherds in the field, the scripture says very, very clearly in that statement about the Jesus' birth, it says, and the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It was the Savior that was born. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that came into the world. It was through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have the joy of knowing Him as Savior and the privilege of recognizing that He came into the world seeking to save that which is lost. So it's, as you said a moment ago, it's not just the babe in Bethlehem. It's not just celebrating His birth as we do, but it's celebrating His birth, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, the whole picture. Theological studies in the Word of God. It's celebrating who is Jesus Christ. I've got an article that asks the question, how and why do we celebrate Christmas? Christmas is celebrated, this writer says, to remember the birth of Jesus Christ, who Christians believe is to be the Son of God, come on the earth. And I use the term that Jesus left heaven's glory and came to earth's gloom in order to save humanity from their sins, to die on the cross. And so it's the celebration of that. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about today, no room, you find in the scripture where Jesus was born, where Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem, and there was no room found for them in the inn. I believe, Greg, we're finding more and more today in society where there's no room for Jesus in the celebration of Christmas. Literally no room to recognize who He is and why He came and what Christmas is about. Speak to that for about a minute before our top of the hour news break, Greg. Why are we finding such a secularization? Why are we finding such a left turn, if you will, from the recognition that Christmas is about Jesus? What is the cause? What's the causative factor of that? And how should we respond?
Well, the culture is never going to widely embrace Jesus Christ. You know, it wasn't just, you know, rejected. There's no room for Him in the end. You fast forward, He was not accepted of His own. And Jesus Himself said, when they hate you, don't be surprised, because they hated me first. So it's not that they reject the holiday. They don't recognize it as a holiday. They enjoy the commerce associated with it, the fun associated with it, and the time off associated with it. They just, many do not want to acknowledge the redemptive value of Jesus Christ's blood, the Savior aspect of, the Christ aspect of, the Messiah aspect of Jesus. All the commercial stuff is fun, and the gift giving is fun. But there's a Savior element that they're not interested in, a Messiah element they're not interested in, a Lord element that they're not interested in. And it's interesting, you know, step back in time. We just had this court case go before the U.S. Supreme Court that may very well see the end of the infanticide, at least a broad infanticide that Roe v. Wade brought in 1973. So 48 years have just transpired, but the child in the womb is important throughout the scripture, and particularly you'll see Elizabeth as she was carrying John in her womb. Yes. When Elizabeth and Mary bumped into one another, the child, John, leapt in the womb, Elizabeth acknowledged.
Yes. Hang on to that thought for just a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. Hang in there. We're going to take a one-minute top of the hour break for the news. Be right back right after the news.
In Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.